Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, GEICO makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
The Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference is back. Join the biggest gathering of cannabis investors and entrepreneurs for this exclusive two-day event, April 20th and 21st at the Fountain Blue, Miami Beach. This year, we're pulling out all the stops with a revamped lineup of C-suite speakers from across the space, private one-on-one meeting booths, and an exclusive VIP lounge. Go to bzcannabis.com to get your tickets today. Again, that's bzcannabis.com. Can't wait to see you.
What up? It is Tuesday. Tuesday on another week of cannabis. I gotta admit, I'm just always thrilled to see Javier Haas. I don't know about you guys. It just makes my day. Good afternoon. How are you, Javi?
I am doing very, very well. I just got back home, as you can tell from the background. Flew for I don't know how many hours. I don't really know what day it is, what time it is. But
I'm excited for you. You've been gone forever. Yeah. Look how excited he is to be home, everybody. And can I just go ahead and quickly address this question? Quantum, in the chat, when is the cannabis conference? We have an answer for you. April 20th and 21st on Miami Beach. BZCannabis.com is where you can get tickets, see the agenda. The two gentlemen we are talking to next, Kyle Schoenfeld and Joe Lustberg, are both going to be there. I mean, we're going to hear more about them.
Is someone in the cannabis industry and won't be there is the question, really.
I don't even know. I mean, I don't think we talk about those people here. they're not allowed. Javi, we want to get to this interview. Honestly, I want the content to be today to really be focused around this because I'm honestly really interested in this.
I got to go back to Quantum for a second. I got to ask Mike Tyson to sign a bag of Mike Bites.
That's not a thing anymore, bro.
They were just banned.
They're banned in Colorado, though, right? Like, not everywhere.
I mean,
or was it multiple states?
I mean, I don't think they're available in Florida anyways, to be honest.
That's
don't
probably
buy weed illegally. Don't do it.
Yeah, well, you probably can't buy them at our conference, but Quantum, if you have a bag, you can probably bring it and he'll sign it. Nobody's going to tell
empty
you.
Empty bag.
Yeah, that's fair. We're not telling you to bring weed to Florida. All right, we can't do that. It's like no financial advice, no weed travel advice here either. Javi, what else is going on, man? Give me a minute of news here.
The 313 finally allowing for adult use cannabis sales in a vote of 8-1. The city council finally approved the new rules. You know, for a very long time, Detroit had a burgeoning medical marijuana industry and retail and some like, you know, gray market kind of adult use sales. But now finally, you will be able to get recreational marijuana. Adult use weed, you know, weed just for fun.
That's awesome.
In the city of Detroit.
That's awesome. Detroit, Benzinga's hometown. Neither of us live in Detroit. With that being said,
I have a 313 number.
We both have 313 numbers. I wonder why. represent. Yeah. Awesome. So also Mike Bites banned. Is the Senate actually going to consider the bill? Here's what I'd say from people around town. This is the best 3-month opportunity we've had. For multiple psychological reasons leading up to midterms. Do they get the win now? Do they get the win when they're kind of a lame duck Congress after midterms? Either one of those are options. But I think this is the 3 months that is kind of pivotal to anything happening in Biden's first term. Javi, do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, no, it's an interesting law. And also, you know, Paint Co. is asking something similar. We are currently talking about the MORE Act, which has a lot of social equity provisions and just cleared the House, is now headed to the Senate. We are also going to be discussing the STATES Reform Act, sponsored or presented by Representative Nancy Mace and sponsored by or backed by Amazon, Charles Koch, many other people. Representative Nancy Mace will also be at the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference, April 20th and 21st. Fountain
Blue, Miami Beach. Awesome. Javi, we can get to a little some more news later if we have time, my friend. But should we dive into our conversation here? It's a fascinating one, man. I'm excited. All right. So, Aaron, let us bring over Kyle Schoenfeld, the head man of Rainbow Realty Group. And then we also have Joe Lusberg, also the head man and CEO of Upwise Capital. Let's bring these gents over. Two awesome guys. Honestly, I'm really pumped for this. We're going to focus a lot on debt and capital flow. Aaron, are we getting them over, my friend? No lie, did not know that was a thing. That was a first. You guys got the updated budget podcast here. That's awesome. Joe, Kyle, how are you guys?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks awesome. For having us. Doing great, guys.
Welcome, gents. Let's start off with a quick 15-30 second intro. Joe, let's start with you, man. Tell us a little bit about Upwise.
Sure. So Upwise is a full service financing marketplace. You know, on balance sheet, we'll lend up to $10 million unsecured. Typically, it's a short term program for, you know, businesses or operators that have been in business for at least 6 months to a year, are showing good cash flow. Other than that, we are a full service brokerage and marketplace. We offer equipment financing, inventory financing, purchase order financing. We also offer construction financing based on the as completed cannabis value, sale leaseback, acquisition loans. I mean, we go to people like, you know, Kyle for our real estate, first lien positions, and our sale leasebacks.
Awesome. I'm sorry, but you forgot to mention your owl, which is on the wall right behind you. Yeah, he has a great name.
Owl Pacino. The Instagram one, you know, I really wanted Hootie, but you know, I lost.
It's owl Pacino is pretty good, man. Yeah. I got to admit.
Hopefully we don't get a lawsuit one day, but it's Owl Pacino.
Hey, there, you know, that's so different. He'll never notice. Kyle, what about you, brother? Tell us about Rainbow.
Yeah, well, like Joe said, you know, we're focused on real estate transactions. We're a real estate financier, but strictly focused on cannabis companies. So, you know, we do sale leaseback transactions. We also do mortgage transactions. You know, unlike some balance sheet lenders and equipment lenders, you know, again, we're focused on real estate. As a result, you know, it allows us to keep our rates down and be really competitive, you know. Not the cheapest rates in the world, but certainly cheap, you know, as far as the cannabis industry goes. And like Joe said, you know, he's been a great partner to us. He helps us sort a lot of our source a lot of our transactions. You know, we have flexibility. As I said, we have the two products. You know, we allow for prepayment and things like that. So we pride ourselves on being flexible, working with cannabis companies. You know, not necessarily giving them a huge boatload of money and saying, hey, go figure it out. You know, we try to structure phase deals with them, help them grow, you know, out of their own cash flow, again, rather than taking on too much debt. But we come from a real estate background. You know, we underwrite the real estate first and foremost, but, you know, it's a pleasure working with cannabis companies in this burgeoning industry, working with Benzinga all this time as well. And that's what we do.
So, I mean, for clarity, Upwise would be kind of the broker and Rainbow Realty would be kind of the preferred lender, right? What is the relationship?
Yeah, in certain instances, like I said, so we do on balance sheet, we'll do unsecured financing, right? Which is, it's just non-dilutive capital based on the cash flow of the business, first UCC one on the business, right? We offer that with a term loan structure or line of credit structure. That's just based on cash flow. Then we have other products where we would act as the broker and we would send a transaction to Kyle and his group and they would be the lender, right? We recently funded a transaction in Colorado. You actually, Javier, did the article for us. We definitely appreciate that. You know, it was a $10 million transaction. They retrofitted an old Pepsi bottling center. And like Kyle said, they're some of the most competitive in cannabis when it comes to rates. You know, that was at 11.5%, which is very competitive as far as, you know, secure products go. You know, even some of the larger operators, you know, we're seeing mid-teens sometimes.
Look, the reality, you know, as we've pointed out, is that there's a lack of capital available for this industry. And so, you know, we come to the table, as Joe said, you know, on real estate type transactions, you know, we see so much deal flow. And frankly, you know, there's only so much that we can handle. So Joe's got a fully built out team. You know, they vet a lot of these opportunities. They kind of direct things that fit in our wheelhouse to us. So that's one way that, you know, simply just as a brokerage, we work together quite a bit. But also, you know, again, a lot of the time, you know, based on my company's constraints, you know, we'll only lend a portion of a product, you know, of a project that's needed. And so when someone needs more money, you know, we can work with Joe, we can syndicate deals, and we can bring in a cash, you know, if a piece of real estate's worth $10 million and I'll give them eight, but the company really needs $11 million, perhaps Joe comes in and gets them a $2-3 million cash loan. So, you know, again, they refer us a lot of great business and they help us vet a lot of stuff that doesn't work. But we also, you know, with Joe, try to team together deals so we can actually put together a full, you know, a full package that gives the borrower almost everything they need.
Yeah.
Since something that's very interesting from the chat, right, changing gears a little bit, Paint Co. asks, if there's any fear of a significant downturn in real estate in the near future, and if so, how would this affect Upwise and Rainbow Realty, right? But let's take it by parts, right? Like stepping away from cannabis just for a little second, right? What do you see in the real estate market, right? We're clearly all still traumatized, right?
Kyle, you have a multi-generational real estate family. Why don't you take that one first?
My family's been through a couple down cycles, so we've certainly seen it before. But look, it's a good question, right? You know, we're looking at industrial deals in the Los Angeles area, just for example, and these buildings are trading at like $300-$400 a foot. That's like a non-cannabis normal real estate value, which is really unheard of. You know, I present stuff like that to my investment committee, and it's hard to believe. But the reality is that the market's at an all-time high. Cap rates are extremely low. You know, capital is readily available to the typical real estate industry. And as a result, you know, cannabis pricing, I mean, just typical real estate pricing is really high. So, yeah, we think about that a lot in our underwriting. We certainly worry about it. You know, at the end of the day, again, what we try to do is, you know, we make a loan, let's just say based on 75%, maybe even a little bit higher of real estate value, right? There might be equipment there, you know, there's always a cannabis license there, you know, so there's value associated with that. You know, for purposes of looking at the downside, we don't really take it into account. And so that's kind of how we hedge on this, right? But, you know, to answer your question, yeah, you know, we think about that all the time. We think real estate's, you know, potentially at a high at the moment. And so when we underwrite these deals, you know, yeah, the real estate's got to make sense first and foremost, but then we're asking ourselves, you know, is this a good company? Can these guys make it? How much help do they really need? And then, you know, that's how we kind of make a judgment on what's going to work and what's not. But to answer the question flat out, yeah, it's on our mind all the time because prices are, you know, perhaps at an all-time high.
So, you know, we keep looking, I keep hearing from you guys a lot on referencing, you know, Kyle, your rates versus the rest of the industry, and they are competitive. You know, I want to look at it a little bit from the investor standpoint. When it comes to debt specifically in this market, and I'll throw this to both of you, you know, a lot of investors get worried when they see a ton of debt on cannabis balance sheets, and it's a rapid quote unquote problem. You know, can you speak to that a little bit, but also speak to how is debt actually beneficial to some of these companies? Obviously they don't lose ownership, but what else can you all, you know, kind of show us about the state of debt in cannabis right now?
I could jump in there, Joe.
Go ahead first. Yeah.
Well, look, I think more, you know, broadly speaking in the cannabis world, you know, probably, you know, a year, 12 to 18 months ago, I think I saw, you know, rates compressing a little bit, you know, certainly the top, you know, the largest companies were kind of getting cheaper financing. And, you know, that was great. I think over the last 6 months, you know, especially on some of the equipment and more of the corporate, you know, corporate credit finance side of the business, I actually think those rates have gone up a couple hundred basis points. So, you know, and I think that might have to do with, you know, the values of the companies, you know, the fact that perhaps the market is a little concerned on kind of the, you know, the lack of movement, let's just say, even though it's great that the MORE Act got, you know, through the House again. I've seen rates go up. You know, the bottom line to me is more states come online, you know, states go from medical to recreational. All that means is more licenses, you know, more borrowers who really want to start businesses and need capital to do it. But you haven't seen more guys like Upwise and Rainbow really pop up actually financing these businesses. You know, banks are wanting to do it, but for the most part, not. Same goes for institutions. And so as a result of that, you know, our rates, you know, on the Rainbow side, we're comfortable with those low double digits, maybe even occasionally high single digit yields that we get on the right deal. But outside of the top,
I mean, your eyes, your eyes went when he said double digits. Your eyes went.
Look, yeah, outside the top 1-2% of, you know, the big player cannabis companies, it's hard for them to get, you know, structured debt at a decent rate. And so it's just jump because, in there just because there's so few providers available. I mean,
our perspective at Upwise, you know, we have over 250 capital sources signed up. So we see a lot of banks starting to come into the space, you know, in the newer states, but they're strictly lending to the real estate entity, right? They're not going to be lending to the cannabis plant touching entity, right? So these operators have to look at it from a certain perspective, right? This perspective is, oh, can they go to their bank and get a bank loan to the real estate entity, right? And then they're going to be left with going out and raising equity and trying to come to somebody like us to raise equipment and get the equipment financing finished out for their cultivation or manufacturing. Or they do it in one shot with a company like Rainbow and get the facility built much quicker, and they pay a higher rate for that. You know, somebody who understands the cannabis capital markets and understands the cannabis valuation rather than that real estate valuation, because there are banks that are lending. They're lending at a low LTV. They're lending to the real estate entities, right? And we come from a traditional financing world. Before we were, you know, our first cannabis deal was in 2014 to a cannabis operator. It was an unsecured loan, you know, for $1.3 million at 38 cents on the dollar over 12 months, right? Back then, nobody was lending to cannabis operators. So we grew with that operator, watched them grow. We ended up giving them 20% money, you know, then down to 18% money, right? But back then, there were no access to capital. Now there is more capital available. But even when or if it does go federal legalization, there will still always be a use for companies like Upwise and like Kyle because of what happens in the cannabis capital markets. I mean, you guys see it every day. These even huge companies, they pay an upfront broker fee to somebody and they get screwed over trying to raise debt or equity. It just happens all the time. And
yeah,
you're looking at two very reputable companies who have, you know, proof of transactions, proof of operators who we can show we've done equipment financing or term loans or line of credits or real estate deals or sale leasebacks with. So, you know, the credibility of these firms goes a long way. And a lot of times these guys are shopping around for months and months to then get a 40% LTV on their loan from their bank that just doesn't do anything to build out their facility.
To Joe's point, I can't count on two hands how many deals that I've gotten down the line with, and the borrower says, you know, we appreciate your offer, but we think a bank's going to come in and finance the whole thing. And I say, okay, good luck. I hope they do. Please, you know, give me at least 3 weeks notice in case they don't. Sure enough, you know, a week before they need to close, the bank says, oh, sorry, we were going to give you $8 million, mm-hmm. We can only give you $4 million, just like Joe says. and it creates a real issue, right? Like, I see banks issuing term sheets and occasionally doing deals, but not at scale. And it's often actually hurting these companies more than it's helping them. You know, if they have some sense of false hope, it doesn't help anything. So what we pride ourselves on is, you know, we've never signed a term sheet. We've never committed to do a deal that we didn't have the money available in our pocket or, you know, callable from our investors to go fund that deal. So when we sign a term sheet, it's because we want to do the deal. It's been approved by our investment committee. We have the capital available and we're ready to go. And I think just like Joe said, you know, that's why we're reputable. That's why we've worked so well with Upwise. And I think that's why we've been able to build a decent track record for ourselves amongst the industry. Because again, if we say we're going to do something, we're going to do it. And we don't retrade at the last minute like some other.
I even have reviews on our website and on our Trustpilot from cannabis companies that say Joe Lusberg was the only person who said he was going to do something and actually did it.
And that I love guy, that.
He was looking for bank money too. Trust me.
You're trusted.
They all are.
I wanted to touch on more and safe. I know you have some interesting opinions, but we're way over time, and I don't want to eat up Mitch's show. But I'd love to have you on again to talk a little bit about this. I know you have some interesting views on the effect or non-effect it would have in the industry. But you know, how can people reach you before we let you go?
best way to get in touch with us, you know, if you're looking for financing or just want to talk generally, investors@rainbowrg.com, RG like Realty Group. That's the best way to, you know, shoot us an email. We're always happy to talk. We're raising money for our fund. We've got, you know, about $65 million of liquidity that we'd like to put out over the next 12 months. So, you know, if you own real estate and you're looking for financing, investors@rainbowrg.com, you know, we're happy to talk.
And us is just 420@upwisecapital.com. Goes directly to our cannabis team. Then from there, you can also go to our website, upwisecapital.com/cannabis financing. Shows you all the different products that we offer. We'll schedule a phone call. We'll show you our full product suite and then go from there.
That seems like a direct slap in the face to all the banks who won't lend. This Upwise is saying 420, we lend to cannabis.
We are very cannabis friendly over here.
I love it. Joe, Kyle, fantastic having you on. I don't think this is over because we need to get you guys back on to talk about how debt affects what you do. Legalization affects what you do. Safe affects what you do. So let's schedule something soon again, maybe for early June or something like that to continue this. But guys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, boys. Always
appreciate it. Take care.
Yes, sir, gents. Talk to you all soon. No fancy transition.
No, but I want to respond real quick. I see Easy Mac, Painco, and some other people very active in the chat. Easy Mike, you're right. Constellation Brands has an investment in Canopy Growth. That is CGC on the New York Stock Exchange.
We also mentioned tobacco, though, right? Which, like OGI, you know, I think BTI has a big investment in them and actually upped it recently.
Then we have Altria. Someone mentioned Altria. That's Cronos Group, C-R-O-N. And then he mentioned as well SMG. Scotts Miracle-Gro has its own cannabis vertical called Hawthorne Gardening. Go check it out as well.
Pretty cool.
I went to rest rallies.
Awesome. So Javier and I had a very, very cool discussion with Raymond Chang, CEO of AgriFi, AGFY, one of the absolute leading ancillary stocks. Talked about his 2021 performance, talked about what he did in Q4. You guys, this is a really cool company. And honestly, if you are going to invest in cannabis, you have to look at diversifying your portfolio. Don't just be a single-minded investor. As you guys know, do your own research. AGFY is a watch lister for sure for me. That being said, Javi, anything else, my friend?
No, I'm just chatting on the background with our producer, Aaron Thomas. He says we don't have time.
I apologize. We love you guys. Cool graphic change. Here we are. Yeah, now we're recording, Javi. We have a special segment. Super pumped about these, honestly. Love our partners that send us these amazing C-suites of awesome investable companies. But Javier, Who do we have for this segment, my friend?
Today, we have a representative of a NASDAQ-traded company. The company in question is AgriFi, AGFY on the NASDAQ. And today, we're joined by Mr. Raymond Chang. He is the CEO of AgriFi Corporation. Raymond, welcome to Benzinga Cannabis Insider. How are you doing?
Good, Javier. Thank you for having me on your show. And Elliot, as you know, really appreciate the opportunity. And I look forward to our having our conversation.
Let's jump right into it. You know, you have a very interesting personal and entrepreneurial story. Would you mind sharing that before we get into the nitty-gritty of the financials?
Sure. Yeah, I've been kind of an entrepreneur pretty much all my life. AgriFi is actually my fourth venture. So back in the mid-90s, I actually started what it turned out to be the first broadband telecom company in Asia. I discovered it by accident. Basically, it was a Sunday afternoon. I was watching the Patriots game, and I noticed that the cable line was thicker than the telephone line. And I was thinking to myself, you know, if we use that to transmit data, you might be able to do it quicker and faster. And that's when I discover, you know, broadband technology around cable modem. And so basically that was my first venture. And then I went over to, and then after that, I went over to China. This was kind of in the early 2000. And then when I got there, what I noticed was that television, even back then, was ubiquitous. And I thought, okay, well, this could be a very interesting channel to try to sell products to remote, you know, Chinese consumers that are really kind of, you know, hungry and getting a lot more wealthy. And so basically I launched the first television home shopping, kind of like the home shopping network here in the US, and it was pretty successful. But I kind of got into AgriFi is really the venture that I'm most excited about. And the reason why I got into it was I actually saw the medicinal benefit of cannabis through my mother-in-law. She was a cancer patient, and frankly speaking, she was, you know, going through her chemo and was miserable. And I saw, you know, just the miraculous kind of benefits from the use of cannabis. And that really kind of opened my eyes, and that's why I'm in it.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. So, you know, AgriFi is an exciting opportunity, you just said, but you all had a very, like, I would say a very eventful 2021, to say the least. I think, you know, we saw some really great M&A from you guys. I think you targeted some fantastic companies, which probably led to some of these numbers. It looks like 25 plus million for Q4, almost 60 million for the full year. So you almost had half of your yearly revenue in the last 3 months, which bodes well for 2022, right?
Yeah, we really have been on this explosive, you know, growth mode. You know, when I took over the company, this was back in 2019, you know, we were very kind of a small startup, right? And 2020, we had maybe $12 million in revenue. So last year, 2021, we grew by more than 5x. Right, to over $60 million in revenue. And I believe that in 2022, you know, we're probably, you know, we gave a guidance of somewhere between 140 to 142. So we're expecting more than 2x growth, you know, in 22 this year.
Nice.
So great. We're very excited about what's happening at AgriFi.
You know, let's talk about M&A a little bit. You recently acquired like Precision Extraction and Cascade Sciences, you know, Pure Pressure, Lab Society. How do each one of these fit into the AgriFi business model? Because not all of them are necessarily aligned with your core business, it seems, but I'm sure there's a rationale behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question, right? So we started out, you know, basically being a cultivation solution provider, right? And our value prop is that we help any of our customers to essentially achieve three things. One is we basically give them the highest possible yield on a per square foot basis. So depending on, because these are vertical units, so you can stack them up. So depending on, you know, the height of the ceiling, we could actually turn the same exact foot, you know, square footage of a facility as much as 5 to 6 times the amount of yield on a square foot basis. right? Wow. So that's really amazing. And then on top of it, because it's a micro grow environment, we deliver the highest consistency and quality. So basically, you know, all of our customers are going after the premium flower market, right? So we're not competing against the outdoor or even the greenhouses. We produce the highest quality premium flowers, right? And at the end of the day, because of all the automation and everything that we're introducing using our software, they also have the lowest possible costs, right? So the customers benefit by having, you know, the best quality products to the market and then the best return on investment because of the higher yield and lower cost of operations. Now, you know, I think after, you know, we kind of sort of master and introduce our, you know, next generation of cultivation solutions, what we realize is that if you kind of look across every single market, we're seeing a shifting of consumer preferences, right? The dry flower market is still probably around 50% of the overall market, right? But the cannabis 2.0 products is really gaining momentum and popularity, right? And the centerpiece of all that is basically the extraction method, right? And that's the reason why we went out and bought essentially the four leading extraction companies. And the reason why we did that is because we want to have a complete offering of different types of extraction technology and solutions.
Brutal M&A.
Right. So now we have hydrocarbon, we can do solventless extraction, we can do distillation, we can do basically like everything you need, right? We can, in fact, we can essentially create a menu for you depending, it doesn't matter what kind of product you want to make at the end, we have the complete solution for you. Right. And so that's basically the reason why we went after the extraction. And in a very short period of time, even just through these four acquisitions, we are now the number one extraction company in the world.
Wow.
So we're very, very proud about
that. Nice. That's killer, Raymond. Looking at, you know, how many people you're starting to work with, you know, you 10X'd your new bookings from 2020 to 2021, more actually. So, you know, can you talk about how you expect that number? Will it continue to grow? Or how do you expect that number to evolve within the next year and beyond?
You know, I think Agrify, you know, the differentiated products, the advantage of our, you know, vertical farming unit, you know, the fully integrated solution is now really starting to get out. The words are getting out. I know that, you know, other ancillary companies have said that, you know, everybody's kind of hitting kind of a, you know, a headwind, you know, the industry is kind of being a little bit shaky and slowed down, et cetera. We are not seeing that at all at Agrify. In fact, the pipeline continues to grow to a point where we are being super selective as who we partner with. And in fact, we had to actually turn away some of the unqualified customers, right? Because if it's not the right match for them, we would just honestly tell them that this is not for you, right? So, so you know, the interest continues to grow, and we are super excited about, you know, the strong interests and, you know, the growing pipeline that we're seeing for Agrify.
Now, one question to close up, right? Everything is going great, right? But there's always things to improve. If you had to pick like one big thing that you'd want to address in 2022 and 2023 and really improve on that, you know, you go like, okay, we're doing great on this front and this front, like financially, M&A, on growth, but where do you feel you're maybe lagging a little bit, and how do you plan on improving it?
Yeah, it's really all comes down to, you know, execution, right? In 2021, we actually did learned a lot. For example, like everybody else, we had supply chain issue that, you know, now I believe we have solved that problem. You know, we also were a little taken back because, you know, we were growing so fast and, you know, for example, our contract manufacturer partners weren't able to scale up with us, right? And internally, you know, growing from 20 to now over 170 employees, right? So you know, there were a lot of kind of internal and execution related issues that we had to resolve. Yeah, but I'm very glad that, you know, I was able to recruit some really senior executives. You know, I brought in Thomas Massey, who's now my president COO and new CFO. Tim Oaks and basically just surround myself with really just proven seasoned executives. And I think we are, you know, right now have all the pieces of puzzle to really just execute and deliver on what we promise.
Update. We'll have you on again very soon. We love getting what's next for AgriFi, and we can't wait to see what you guys do further in 2022. But thanks for being here, my friend.
Thanks for having me. Really, really appreciate it. Always enjoy the conversation.
Yes, sir. We will talk to you soon. Raymond Chang, CEO of AgriFi, NASDAQ-listed AGFY. Have a great one. Make sure to stay tuned to Cannabis Insider.
As someone living with lung cancer, speaking up and being proactive during this cancer journey is absolutely critical.
Self-advocating can play a big role when dealing with lung cancer, but it doesn't need to be daunting. Try preparing questions you want to ask your doctor at your next appointment, confirming when you are unsure or have concerns, and asking about biomarker testing, which may help your doctor select an appropriate treatment.
I hope anyone who's diagnosed with lung cancer, whatever the stage, is willing to speak up, ask questions, assemble a support team, and fight.
Visit bit.ly/soundupforlungcancer for links to resources and to learn about SoundUp, a patient-inspired, community-led campaign supported by Novartis to empower people affected by lung cancer.
Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, Geico makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
Jeep Freedom Days are here, where right now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2022 Grand Cherokee WK Laredo E4x4 for $369 a month for 36 months with $3,799 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease across their capital. Lessee is responsible for termination fees. Current lease must end by 7-3-23. Extra charge for miles over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7-5-22. Jeep is a registered trademark.